Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's message, a Syrophoenician woman asked Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. Though Jesus did not immediately heal the young girl, her mother's humility before God and her great expression of faith caused Jesus to show her mercy, even though she was not an Israelite. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 7 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 24 through 30.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, and I will read verses 24 through 30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread, and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. I have found that a great help in understanding the Bible is a good study Bible that has a collection of maps. Because sometimes when you've been reading the Scriptures and you read about a location, you're probably thinking, well, where is this? And it is very helpful to give you just an idea of where the scene is taking place. Tyre and Sidon were cities of Phoenicia that are a part of Syria. And if you look at your Bible map, Phoenicia stretched north from Carmel, right along the coastal plain. The city of Tyre lay 40 miles northwest of Capernaum. Its name means the rock, and it was one of the great natural harbors of the world at that time. Sidon was about 26 miles northeast of Tyre, 60 miles north of Capernaum, and like Tyre, it had a natural breakwater. And I said all of this to say this. When you look at the map, you see that Jesus is now entered into Gentile territory. Remember the context. Jesus had just shown the Jews the distinction between what was really clean and unclean. And just as the Jew would never soil his lips with forbidden foods, so he or she would never soil their life by coming into contact with the unclean Gentiles. So once again, we find Jesus breaking the religious taboos of the day. He didn't break the law of God. He broke their religious rules. And in doing so, he was actually demonstrating that the Gentiles, which is probably the vast majority of us, are not unclean, but that they too, through the Messiah, have a place in the kingdom. In Psalm 2, one of the Messianic Psalms, we read, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. William Barclay adds this interesting comment, quote, When, under Joshua, The land was being partitioned out. The tribe of Asher was allocated the land as far as Sidon the Great and the fortified city of Tyre. They had never been able to subdue their territory, and they never had entered into it. Is it not symbolic? I love this line. Where the might of arms was helpless, the conquering love of Jesus Christ was victorious. There's a little bit of a history about this city. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah aided a non-Jewish widow woman in this area. In 1 Kings 16, the wicked queen Jezebel, who incited Ahab to worship the false god of Baal and eventually persecuted Elijah, was the daughter of a Sidonian king. A lot is happening by this point in time in Christ's ministry. His popularity is soaring. Chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, verse 8, we read that they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And you know what's fascinating to me? In this day and age of lightning speed communication, it is still the most effective way to share the gospel one-on-one. That's the most effective, and that's the most personal, and that's the most powerful. And so his popularity is soaring, but hostility is soaring. The scribes and the Pharisees marked Jesus and were out to get him. Herod politically regarded him as a menace. The region and people of Nazareth treated him with scandalized dislike. And so the Galilee area, which should have been friendly toward him, was actually hostile because of the poisonous influence of the Pharisees and the scribes. And then you have Tyre and Sidon, who should have been hostile to Jesus. He turned out to be much, much more receptive and friendlier. You see, they had a hunger. They had a hunger for truth. They had a hunger for the Lord. And it has been said, and I would agree, that you and I will never obtain anything in the kingdom of God unless there is first a hunger for it. Are you hungry today? I'm not talking about brunch. Are you hungry? Are you hungry and thirsting for the things of the kingdom of God? Here, Jesus, he goes into this Gentile territory and he enters into a house. The house is not named. We don't know where the house is. And it appears that Jesus was desiring to get away from the hostility for a little bit of rest. Notice, he would have had no man know it. Literally, that could be read, desiring that no man might have knowledge of him, but he could not be hid. John Corson once said in a Bible study, you can't hide Jesus if he's in your house, if he's in your life. If he's in, it'll come out. And so Jesus enters into this house. And a certain woman, we don't know her name, we don't know her age, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. We don't know her name, we don't know her age. She heard of him, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She was born in the part of Syria known as Phoenicia, a Gentile woman, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. A corresponding section of scripture is Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, and it would probably be good to read that afterwards to see the full story here. Matthew 15, 22 says that this woman cried out to the Lord and said, have mercy on me, Lord, O Lord. She recognized Jesus. The theologians didn't. The scribes didn't. But she did. Isn't it interesting? O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. There's a lot of emotion here. She's crying out. She cries out for mercy. Mercy. How many of you know that our God is a merciful God? Merciful and full of compassion. She cries out for mercy to Jesus, Lord, Kurios, Sovereign One, Son of David. She doesn't ask for justice. Any of you get up this morning and say, Lord, you know, enough of this mercy and grace. I want justice in my life today. You know what justice is? It's getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And if you need mercy, then you're not asking for justice, do you? And so, she's not saying, I'm worthy of this. She's not saying, I deserve this. She's not saying, you owe me this. She's saying, I'm not worthy. Be merciful. I need mercy, Lord. There's a tragedy in my home. There's a tragedy in my life. My girl, my daughter, we don't know how old. She's demon-possessed. Be merciful to me. When you study the Gospels, it's an interesting discovery that when people cry out for mercy, it's almost like Jesus stops in his tracks. Because that's when you're at a place of desperation. This woman's desperate. And if you hear in a situation today that you would deem to be desperate, one of you, two of you, well, then this is for you. Be merciful to me. Remember the publican in the temple? He would not lift up his eyes to heaven. He smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, it's at this point in time that the disciples say this, send her away. She's crying after us. Here comes this woman, desperate. She comes in humility. She comes broken. She comes with the right attitude. She comes and she's got an incredibly difficult situation. The disciples say, send her away. She's coming after us. No, she's not. Dynamic dozen. She came looking for Jesus. Send her away. Can't you just feel the compassion? Can't you just feel the love? I mean, these guys have the mercy of a brick. And they've been sitting under the best teacher and the best example. And the only thing that they can think of when they are facing an impossible situation is get rid of them. We don't want to deal with it. Get rid of them. You know, these are the same guys. Remember, Jesus was set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, but he had to go through the area of Samaria. And the disciple says, why don't we call down fire from heaven? That's the solution. You remember what our Lord said in Luke 9? You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I'm glad for that, aren't you? He didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. No doubt this woman, this mom, is wrestling with all of the doubts and all of the guilt and all of the frustration that any parent could wrestle with when their children are in this condition. Because you have a tendency to take some of the responsibility. What should I have done? What could I have done? Maybe if this woman was a worshiper of a pagan god, it was through that influence that a demon possessed her daughter. Maybe, maybe not, if that was the case. And she was crying out to these false gods. Didn't help. Could it be, and it might be, that Jesus was her last resort? She heard of him. We don't know how far she walked, but she came. And she was going to bring her daughter's need to Jesus. And she asks Jesus, cast forth the devil out of my daughter. Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. It's important to have some cultural background when you're reading the scriptures. Any rabbi having conversation with a woman, especially a Gentile woman person, scandalized the religious and social establishment. So whenever you read about Jesus having some kind of an encounter, the woman at the well, the woman who washed his feet, every time Jesus is written about doing those things, it's like the fingers on the chalkboard to the religious authorities. Ooh. It grated their self-righteous nerves. It's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's sad. There was a sect, S-E-C-T, that was known as the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees at this time. Every time they saw a woman, that they would cover their eyes and then they would bump into whatever happened to be in front of them. And their bruises and their broken bones, according to them, were the pious marks of their exalted sexual ethics. So they thought. But Jesus said to them, inwardly, you are full of corruption. So here's Jesus again, breaking the rules. Let the children first be filled. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. The dogs here. Jesus' answer was that it was not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. The dog was not the well-loved guardian that it is today. In fact, it was commonly a symbol of dishonor. To the Greek, the word dog meant a shameless and audacious woman like Jezebel. It was a term of contempt. And so if you just read the Bible without any kind of an understanding of the language or the tone of Jesus' voice, you would get the idea, what an insult. She comes to him asking for help, and he insults her. He calls her a dog. Well, no, not in that context. Jesus didn't use the usual word for dog. He used a diminutive word that described not the wild scavenger dog of the street, but the little pet lap dog of the house. And in the Greek language, diminutives are characteristically affectionate. You see, Jesus took the sting out of the word. And without a doubt, it was the tone of her voice, his voice, that made the distinction. You see, the same word can be a deadly insult, or it could be an affectionate address according to the tone of voice. If I were to say to my dear brother Matt here, Matt, you old rascal, I could say it in such a way that would express contempt, or Matt, you old rascal, or affection. When Jesus spoke these words, he took the poison out of the word. We talked about words a couple weeks ago, didn't we? The tongue. Jesus never spoke a word with poison in them, but life and healing and hope. and comfort. He said, it is not meet to take the children's bread. Who are the children? In context, the Jewish people. It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it onto the dogs. In other words, the children must be fed first. Brings to light the words of Paul in the epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. So let's talk about cultural table manners. In those days, people didn't have knives or forks or table napkins. They ate with their hands. They wiped the soiled hands on chunks of bread and then would fling the bread away and they would give it to the little household puppies. You know what the woman is saying here? I know the children are fed first, but I would be content with the scraps that the children throw under the table. Or let's take this a little bit deeper. What this woman was saying, Lord, what this woman was saying, Son of David, if you will be my master, I'm content with the crumbs that fall under the table. You know what that is? Humility. Humility in the sight of God, coupled with faith in Jesus Christ, are often throughout the scripture ingredients of the miraculous or ingredients of an encounter with the Lord. When Jesus heard these words, wouldn't you love to have, every time I mention something, my kids and grandkids say, Dad, could you use an illustration that is after 1975? So the most recent form of video, whatever it is, I would love to see a picture of this. I would love to see the expression on Christ's face. We don't even know how many other people are in the house. Jaws are dropping. When Jesus heard these words, we know that there was great joy, there was great delight in his heart. Now, many of the commentators say, and it kind of goes back to the Messianic Psalm chapter 2, that this woman's faith in Jesus Christ stands as an example of the Gentile world who would so enthusiastically and passionately embrace Jesus Christ, the very bread of heaven, which the Jews rejected, would become their bread. The very bread of heaven that the Jews rejected would become their bread. We are the wild olive branch. We're the ones that get grafted in. Us Gentiles. Gentiles are not given a separate revelation. We're not given a separate object of faith or a separate way of being saved. All Gentile salvation is the gospel that has overflowed from the bounty given to Israel. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful name. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.